Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back here to the Audio Stash today. It's Wednesday, November 21st. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us here at Normal. Help us end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. We have a very special show for you here today. We got a chance to check in with Matt Simon at sendtherightmessage.com in New Hampshire. Remember that Matt is running one of two groups that are videotaping interactions with all of the presidential candidates in New Hampshire and asking them questions about marijuana prohibition. Well, today, Matt got a chance to have a sit-down interview just this morning with Congressman Dennis Kucinich. We're going to speak with Matt today about that interview, and we're going to hear some audio from that interview today with Congressman Dennis Kucinich, also in audio supplied by sendtherightmessage.com. We'll hear a current police officer, Bradley Jardis. He's a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And Officer Jardis went to a John McCain rally recently and questioned Senator McCain about marijuana and drug policy. We'll have some audio from that. You can view videos of the McCain encounter and many others up at sendtherightmessage.com. We have links to it right up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. And it's a holiday week. We're going to have a special Thanksgiving audio stash for you tomorrow, filled with music and comedy for a very nice holiday show. And on Friday, we've got our interviews with Johnny Richter from the Cottonmouth Kings and Big B, who's on the Suburban Noise record label. Those are sit-down interviews we conducted last Sunday right here in Philadelphia. Let's get right into our audio stash today with Matt Simon of sendtherightmessage.com. Again, we have links to him right up at normalaudiostash.com. We're going to hear audio recorded today with Congressman Dennis Kucinich.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?
Marijuana is now an issue that is firmly a part of the presidential election for 2008. The Democratic candidates were asked about decriminalization at an MSNBC debate 2 weeks ago in Philadelphia, and two groups in New Hampshire have consistently had the candidates of both parties addressing questions about marijuana prohibition. Those two groups are Granite Staters for Medical Marijuana and SendTheRightMessage.com. We've been checking in with both projects regularly, and today we'll speak with Matt Simon at SendTheRightMessage.com about some exciting work that he's doing. Matt had a sit-down interview with Congressman Dennis Kucinich just today. And we'll have some audio clips from that interview right here on the Audio Stash today. First up, though, Matt and SendTheRightMessage.com worked with law enforcement against prohibition to have Officer Bradley Jardis, a LEAP speaker and a currently employed police officer, attend a town hall meeting with Senator John McCain of Arizona. Jardis questioned McCain on drug policy in what was an extended back-and-forth discussion. A full video of that exchange is available on YouTube, and we have links to it at normalaudiostash.com, and of course it can be viewed right up at sendtherightmessage.com. Here's the end of that encounter. Again, we'll hear LEAP member Officer Bradley Jardis and Senator John McCain.
In all due respect, you think methamphetamine ought to be made legal?
I don't think that if someone gets caught with methamphetamine, we should be putting them in prison, period. We should be helping them. We should help people who are addicted to drugs not spend $69 billion a year. If you arrest somebody, it does not solve the problem. You just said that there are drug cartels. There would not be drug cartels if we were to regulate drugs. In Switzerland, they have public heroin clinics where people can go and get help with clean needles to come off drugs. There's no doubt that drugs are dangerous, but our policy does not do anything to help people who are addicted. If you arrest a 16-year-old for possession of marijuana and they get a criminal conviction, you can get over an addiction, but you can never get over a conviction. They lose their funding to go to college, and no one could ever say that keeping a kid from going to college accomplishes something good. Not at all. Not because
thank you very much. I'm sorry you didn't have a position on methamphetamine, but I do agree with you. I do agree with you strongly. As I said, we have this program in Arizona, which I would like to see adopted nationwide, that first-time offenders are given an opportunity to rehabilitate themselves and to have a clean record. I thank you for your service, and I appreciate the discussion, and I look forward to continuing this dialogue, because I in any way mean to diminish the magnitude of this problem, the terrible tragedies that it inflicts on America every single day. Thank you, and thank you for your service. Yes, sir.
John McCain there speaking to LEAP member Officer Bradley Jardis in New Hampshire. That video was shot by SendTheRightMessage.com. We have links to the full video and others from them right up at SendTheRightMessage.com. And we have links, of course, at NormalAudioStash.com. Joining us today to discuss this interaction and present an interview that took place this morning in New Hampshire with Congressman Kucinich is Matt Simon of SendTheRightMessage.com. Matt is the man who makes all of these videos and blogs about the candidates possible. Matt, welcome back here to the show today.
Hey, Chris. It's great to be back on.
Great to speak with you today, Matt. First, let's talk about this McCain encounter. Officer Bradley Jardis made waves last year when he spoke at the New Hampshire legislature in favor of marijuana decriminalization. So how did this come together with Officer Jardis, and how do you think it went?
Well, it was really amazing. It's the encounter that I've been dreaming about kind of all along. And when he told me that he'd be willing and interested in doing this, you know, we've been watching the schedules for about a month or so, and there was finally a great opportunity to do it at Franklin Pierce College in Ringe, New Hampshire, which is a small college, but it has actually a very active Students for Sensible Drug Policy chapter. And I've spoken there before, so I expected, you know, it'd be friendly territory for an encounter like this. And this event was also simulcast at a college in Iowa, so I think those Iowans who were watching also got their money's worth. I'm really just a huge fan of law enforcement against prohibition, and if we can get more officers doing what Officer Jardis did the other day, we could really make a big difference in public opinion. And the encounter itself was just amazing.
Indeed, it is a powerful video, and folks can view it again at sendtherightmessage.com. Well, let me first ask, Matt, you know, what did Officer Jardis have in mind as the goals for this interaction?
Well, you know, we're trying to raise the issues, and when somebody like me stands up and asks a question at a town hall and suggests that there's a comparison between alcohol prohibition and drug prohibition, McCain is able to laugh it off and, you know, make a few corny jokes and dismiss it and move on, and it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, Bradley, of course, knows that being a law enforcement officer, people will take you seriously, and John McCain will. So by virtue of you know, he feels morally compelled to speak out on these issues. It's certainly not doing him any favors with his career, but if he's going to be enforcing these laws, which he feels are immoral, and putting people in prison and ruining young people's lives, and, you know, enforcing bad policies that he doesn't agree with, he feels like as a citizen, anything he can do to help raise the issues, he wants to do, and this was an opportunity to do that.
Now, McCain did squirm on the issue by bringing up methamphetamines. When pressed on marijuana prohibition, politicians often try and throw in other substances, so was that kind of expected?
Well, it makes sense to, you want to have that kind of argument on about methamphetamine if you're McCain rather than about marijuana. If it had been me, you know, going back and forth with McCain, I would have tried to steer it back to marijuana, but, you know, I don't usually take too much of a position on that. I think marijuana obviously should, you know, prohibition of marijuana should definitely be ended, and the war on drugs needs to be definitely reconsidered, but I'm not going to tell you I would legalize methamphetamine tomorrow. But, you know, the leap position is that the entire war on drugs is a failure, and the entire war on drugs approach needs to be scrapped. I admire that. That's the approach that Bradley Jardis took, and that's what he defended with McCain. You know, he said, McCain criticized him and said, I'm sorry you didn't have a position on methamphetamine, but he did have a clear position. He said, I don't think if someone gets caught with methamphetamine, we should be putting them in prison, period. We should be helping them. We should help people who are addicted to drugs, not spend $69 billion a year to put people in jail. That, to me, is a very clear position.
It is indeed. Now, Matt, in another portion of this exchange, McCain took a rather interesting path, claiming that pharmacologically, alcohol was the only substance that could be taken in moderation. This is probably news to all the members of AA and ambulance drivers across the country. McCain's wife is closely linked to a large alcohol distributorship in Arizona. Do you think McCain is trying to take the edge off the prohibition debate by somehow defending alcohol?
Who's bought into the entire 1980s Reagan-Bush approach to drugs from a policy perspective, and he's been in politics that entire time, and those were the policies you had to buy into to be elected as a Republican. He was friends with Bill Bennett, who was Reagan's drug czar. You know, he's just been in line with that entire way of thinking all along, and that way of thinking has made an exception for alcohol and tobacco, certainly. So when you have that kind of a disconnect for so long in your mind, I suppose that it becomes perfectly natural. But of course, it isn't a natural disconnect. Marijuana causes far less harm than alcohol or tobacco, and there's plenty of medical and scientific evidence to suggest that. But these, you know, politics is a different world from reason and evidence. And I think trying to get reason and evidence introduced is the job of citizens, because the mainstream media doesn't always do too good a job, does it?
Matt, you mentioned this was the type of encounter you really envisioned for the SendTheRightMessage.com project. What was it that made this one so good for you?
Well, I mean, just the entire picture of it. You know, we can't make much progress unless we have somebody who's a police officer break ranks with, you know, the lockstep approach, and it's like a brotherhood, that the law enforcement and criminal justice communities have to be united on this, or, you know, they that's where the public opinion sort of thing happens. It can be some college professor or some activist like me can scream until we're blue in the face, but we won't be taken seriously. We need more than just grassroots activism. We need what you might call grass tops activism, people who are respected in the community. That's not just law enforcement. It could be, you know, doctors and nurses, and it can be, you know, clergy, people like that, and certainly mainstream politicians would be nice as well. We need people across the board, people who use drugs, people who don't, doesn't matter, who understand the problems of prohibition, to stand up and say things. And I thought that is exactly what we got Sunday evening.
So having someone like Bradley Jardis, this can really make a big difference in how politicians will address an issue or set of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been understood, you know, since the ancient Greeks, the concept of ethos, the person doing the talking, making the argument, is always going to be considered and evaluated along with the argument itself. And that was definitely the case. McCain was, you know, he did, I don't know how many times he said, thank you for your service and things like that. He was very polite for the most part. And afterwards, Officer Jarvis was able to go up and shake his hand, and he was very civil and handed him a Leap DVD, which I hope Senator McCain will watch, and maybe we'll get a chance to ask him if he watched it later.
And as you say in your blog, there is definitely a DVD player on McCain's Straight Talk Express bus. So, also, Matt, just today, you had a pretty fascinating encounter with Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who is, of course, a Democratic presidential candidate. We're going to play some of that audio from that interview here in a moment. But let me ask, how did this come about?
Well, it's been, when you have a budget of less than $1,000 for your campaign, which is the situation that we're in, you have to be innovative and imaginative, and I've decided to use my writing skills, limited though they may be, to try to become a journalist sort of informally this election cycle, and it's worked for me. I write about New Hampshire politics for NHinsider.com, and I'm now writing for the Huffington Post's Off the Bus project, which is offthebus.net. And that's all, of course, in addition to my blog for Send the Right Message campaign. When I do an article that's appropriate for all three audiences, I publish it in all three places. But believe it or not, I don't always write about drug and marijuana policy. But it was through being a semi-established blogger that I was able to. This was an invitation to New Hampshire media to, they blocked off some time this morning to meet with, for the congressman to have interviews with individual media, and they scheduled me for 15 minutes because I'm a blogger for NewHampshireInsider.com and for Huffington Post, and they didn't, I'm sure the congressman did not know what was coming, and I know he didn't, but it was really quite an experience.
And Matt, though you mentioned Congressman Kucinich might not have been expecting this line of questions, he really did not hesitate to answer them quickly and with a lot of candor.
I was delighted with how candid he was. I tried to speak to him one time before, and there was kind of a crowd around, and he wasn't real comfortable going into the issue, I didn't feel like. This time, he absolutely was. In fact, I wanted to start off kind of soft, and I began with an industrial hemp question. He's one of the co-sponsors of Ron Paul's industrial hemp farming bill. I thought that would be kind of a nice way to ease into it, but you know, I thought I'd give him a chance to tell me about all the good things hemp would do for our economy, you know, energy and food and all that sort of thing. But instead, he looked at me and he said, "Let's cut right to the quick. Marijuana should be decriminalized. Period. Decriminalize it, and then hemp's not an issue." Like, okay, well, now we can talk about, you know, what I really wanted to talk about the most, which is prohibition. And then I informed him about law enforcement against prohibition, which he actually hadn't heard of. Well, I was a little surprised at that, but he's certainly heard of them now. And I was able to give him a copy of my article. He now knows about what happened with Officer Jardis and McCain Sunday evening, and we talked about that a little bit as well.
Let's listen to some of this interview now, starting with the end of the congressman's answer on that hemp question, then a few others. Here's Congressman Dennis Kucinich speaking with Matt Simon of SendTheRightMessage.com today, November 21st.
As far as marijuana, look, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs. Never have, okay? I don't get why the country ought to be turned upside down over the issue of marijuana. So to me, hemp's not an issue.
Do you think it would have a major impact on public opinion if more members of the law enforcement and criminal justice communities went public with their criticisms of the war on drugs?
I think it would be helpful because they have to deal with it. They're the ones that have to arrest or round up people for essentially nonviolent offenses, when violent crime is something that really needs the attention of law enforcement. Again, this is a matter of just we need to change our laws, and we need to end mandatory minimums. We need to look at drug abuse as being a medical problem and help people get the medical care, the mental health care that they need in order to put their lives together again.
When Tim Russert asked who disagreed with Senator Dodd's position that marijuana should be decriminalized, you were the only person who did not raise your hand. Senator Edwards said it would send the wrong signal to young people, which Senator Dodd later found amusing. What would you have said if you'd been given a minute to speak on that issue to the American people in that debate?
Then I agree with Senator Dodd. I mean, this, again, should be about our awareness of taking the tension away from this issue. Not attention, tension. When you put judgment on people because they've used drugs, you make it difficult for people to be able to take a new path. I'll be a president who demonstrates both compassion and wisdom in how you deal with these issues. And I'm not into judging people. I'm into meeting people as to who they are and helping them get to who they want to be.
Congressman Kucinich speaking with Matt Simon of SendTheRightMessage.com earlier today, November 21st. Now, Matt, are you surprised that candidates like Kucinich don't use their strong stance against prohibition more to their advantage and that they don't bring up the issue more themselves on the campaign trail?
I have been surprised by that all along in this campaign, because especially today, sitting down with him, I really got a sense that this is a person who's just deeply morally opposed to the war on drugs, in much the same way that Ron Paul is. When you talk to Ron Paul, you get the same thing. They're both very similar in their demeanor. You start talking to them about drug policy, they know that drug abuse and addiction are a medical problem. They know that drug prohibition makes it harder for people with real drug abuse problems to get help. They wish they could do something. They're just one person in the United States Congress. And so I really, you know, of course, Ron Paul has raised the issue every opportunity he can. And Kucinich really hasn't volunteered it, really hasn't thrown it out there. So I was really happy with his candidness with me today, and I hope he'll have some opportunities to speak out to a larger audience on it as the campaign goes forward.
Matt, you asked Congressman Kucinich a lot of great questions in this interview, and one that really perked my ears was when you talked about the relationship and interactions between Congressman Ron Paul of Texas and Congressman Kucinich. Let's listen into that here for a moment.
Prompts me to ask, what besides honesty do you think you have in common with Dr. Paul?
He's been a fearless defender of the Constitution and an outspoken opponent of war as an instrument of policy. He's very bright. He's someone who has a lot of courage, and he's my friend, and it's nice when you can admire your friends, even if you may have some disagreements with them. Mm-hmm. I admire them.
And Matt, do you think these two candidates, Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, could have a definitive impact on this election?
Well, of course, all that remains to be seen, and it's, you know, the politics of it is so different from one side to the other. You know, on the Democratic side, there are several candidates who say a lot of the same things that Kucinich has been saying for years, and he feels like they've taken some of his words, some of his rhetoric, but not the substance of it. For example, with universal health care, his notion of what that means is something very different from what it means when you hear some of the other candidates say it. Ron Paul, kind of the same thing. He talks about limited government, personal responsibility, and all these things that conservatives talk about, but he means something different by them. He means really limited government and really personal responsibility.
Matt, this interview today represents kind of a new realm for you and SendTheRightMessage.com. Along with the public work and video documentaries you're doing, you're now sitting down for interviews with a candidate like Dennis Kucinich and getting a much longer forum for back and forth on these questions.
Right. It's increasingly possible for people who have some basic skills and can do journalism to rise up, you know, through the new medias that are springing up. Every year that goes by, more people are getting their news and stuff from the internet. They're not getting it from TV. They're not getting it from the mainstream press. So it's very easy to become established if you have some skills. And I'm working very hard to increase my credibility and my online audience, and try to, so that when I do have something to share, like this encounter with McCain or this interview with Kucinich, that I'm able to get it out there to people.
You mentioned working on the blogs and getting a lot of quick success with that. And though blogging is now recognized as a very important form of modern journalism, bloggers don't yet enjoy the same street cred as newspaper reporters.
Well, no, they're not. But the gap is definitely shrinking. And, you know, as more people start to read a site like the Huffington Post and even go there for their news, you know, I wasn't that familiar with it before they extended an invitation to me to start writing for them, or to start carrying some of the stuff that I write for their candidate coverage. But as I, you know, I'm not the most internet savvy person in the world, but I've, you know, the more I click around, the more I realize there are entire communities of information. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but people get all, there an increasing number of people get all their news from the internet, and rather than going to a mainstream site, they go to this site or that site that's tailored already to their interests. And just trying to publish things in multiple different places and cross-post them in different forums, you know, if that's all you got, that's what you do. I try to get my link as many places as possible. It's on the front page of dig.com. That's one that's very useful. It's a site that that takes any user can put content up there, and then all the users in the dig community will vote for articles that they think are good and want to be promoted. And if you get enough votes, you go to the front page. I've been now on the front page, this is the fourth time with this McCain article, and it's really getting a lot of web traffic. We're getting a lot of looks with this thing, and I'm delighted with it. $0 spent, Chris. $0 spent. That's the best part of all.
Right on. Now, Matt, while SendTheRightMessage.com is not endorsing any presidential candidates, you are issuing report cards for them when it comes to prohibition issues.
The Republican letter grades are already out. Ron Paul got an A+. Tom Tancredo got a C, and the rest were all Fs. The Democrat report card has taken me a lot more time, and I'm still fiddling with, you know, I haven't made final decisions, and we're still talking about some of the grades, because there's a lot more nuance between the candidates and such. But it'll be letter grades in an attempt to comprehensively explain their positions in a short paragraph next to the grade. And it's, you know, to educate voters on the issues, not so much, you know, we know that people don't vote based on just one single policy. There are very few people who vote just based on one issue, and, you know, it's a combination of issues. But we want to make the point that the prohibition policy is one of the very important issues that voters should consider and should take into consideration. So we want to get those report cards out. We're going to take them to the International Drug Policy Reform Conference in New Orleans in December and hand them out and just try to spread the word as much as possible.
All righto, Matt. This has been a wonderful conversation today. I really appreciate you allowing us to use audio from the McCain event and also that great interview today with Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Matt, thanks again, and break a leg up there in your future efforts.
I'll try not to break a leg. It's funny you say that. We just got some snow on the ground today, and it's a little slick, but I'll try not to break a leg, and thank you very much, Chris.
Well, maybe not any leg breaking up there, Matt. Thank you again for joining us here today. Matt Simon is with SendTheRightMessage.com. He's interacting with most of the presidential candidates out there, asking them questions about marijuana prohibition. You can view all these videos and read Matt's blogs right up at sendtherightmessage.com. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned. Our cannabis science segment coming up next. Have you ever wondered what Amsterdam is all about? Don't just read about the culture that has accepted cannabis. Experience it firsthand with CS Travel's Sensible Amsterdam Tour with Normal. Travel to one of Europe's most beautiful cities this January for an educational and recreational visit to a city that regulates cannabis like alcohol. CS Travel has arranged an exclusive visit for reform-minded Americans that includes a private tour of some of Amsterdam's most renowned coffee shops, educational seminars with coffee shop proprietors, local law enforcement, members of the Cannabis Retailers Association, and Normal staff. Entertainment includes a special evening at the Boom Chicago Comedy Club, canal tours, visits to the city's many museums, including the world-famous Van Gogh Museum. Don't just wonder about Amsterdam, experience the beauty and freedom of this unique city firsthand with CS Travel and Normal Sensible Amsterdam Tour. Pricing information is available online at coffeeshoptravel.com. That's coffeeshoptravel.com. Or call toll-free at 800-816-1846. That's 800-816-1846. Be a sensible American. Visit Amsterdam with CS Travel and Normal this January. Call 1-800-816-1846 right now to book your trip. More information is available at normal.org.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Wednesday here on the Audio Stash, we get the chance to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine about the science of cannabis. Mitch is professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. He's author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. He's editor of the new book Pot Politics. You can catch a monthly column by Mitch in High Times magazine. He's got a brand new book called A Parent's Guide to Marijuana coming out this spring. Today on the Audio Stash, we've got a holiday replay of one of our more popular segments with Mitch. This was originally recorded in December of last year, and around the holidays, Mitch and I did a couple of segments about cannabis and sex, and this one was sort of the most comprehensive one. So here's Dr. Mitch Earlywine and I last year in our cannabis science segment talking about something a lot of you may be doing for the holidays. Marijuana and sex. Mitch, today we're going to discuss a very juicy topic, sex and marijuana. The ONDCP and DEA would have us believe that smoking marijuana decreases sex drive, yet we hear from Carl Sagan and Ann Dryan that their best sexual experience happened after smoking pot. So let's cut to the chase here. Does smoking marijuana affect your sex drive?
As it turns out, we don't have a lot of data addressing actual desire. And we do have tons and tons of sort of informal clinical reports where people say sex is certainly enhanced during or right after marijuana use. And so it's hard to even entertain the idea that somehow your sex drive would drop with long-term use. Obviously, that's not something that's been a priority among a lot of big funding agencies. So if it does happen, we certainly haven't heard about it.
So when we hear about this anecdotal evidence, are people saying their experience is enhanced or their sex drive is better?
We've got data from as early as the 1980s suggesting that the experience is better. Men report seeing themselves as more giving and that people are generally more sensitive to touch, in part because time is distorted after smoking marijuana. People at least seem to think they spend a lot more time in the sex act. There's a lot of enhanced orgasm reports, both in Charlie Tart's data from 1971 all the way to like ancient Chinese things in 200 AD. So I think this is a pretty consistent effect and one that folks like to talk about. I do want to caution that cannabis is not a lubricant, and we do see a number of drying of mucous membranes, whether it's in your eye or anywhere else, that could be affected, and that's why I, you know, I have to recommend that people keep that in mind if they're planning on sexual contact after using cannabis.
So that common cotton-mouth effect of smoking marijuana isn't just from having the smoke pass over your palate, but it's drying up the body overall as part of the physical effects of marijuana intoxication.
In fact, all mucous membranes are drier after use, and that would be something to make investment in a lubricant worthwhile.
Mitch, you mentioned this sort of temporal shift when folks are smoking marijuana. Is that sense of spending more time having sex in and of itself enhancing the experience?
As it turns out, we don't have data directing that, directly addressing that, but it certainly makes a lot of intuitive sense. I think the other thing that we hear a lot is just there's really nice, candid discussions about what you like and what you don't like after cannabis that often don't occur when you're, you know, either using alcohol or no substances at all. And I think more than anything, it's what are the occasions where this happens. So people often don't use cannabis before sex unless they know they're going to have enough time and they're going to be in a comfortable setting and they're in all these other situations that seem to contribute to good sexual performance as well. And so what I recommend to folks is if they want to use cannabis to enhance sex, that's great. But think about what are the other things that you're doing when you do that and see, can you do those more often as well? I know parents of young children often find themselves in situations where they're tired and rushed, and what a surprise, it's not as good as things used to be. Well, if they could arrange to, you know, get rest and find an environment where they could be uninterrupted for a longer period, that alone would contribute so much. And then if you want to use cannabis to enhance that further, why, by all means, go ahead.
And Mitch, using the media buzz phrase out there, what about sexual promiscuity? We have a lot of evidence that alcohol increases sexual promiscuity in men and women, but does that happen with cannabis intoxication?
We only have really two published studies suggesting any link between cannabis use and, say, condom use or having unprotected sex or things like that. And I think what happens is there's a subset of folks who are sort of disinhibited in general, sensation seekers, if you will. And so they do report using cannabis and having unsafe sex. We don't have a lot of data showing that it was actually the event when they used cannabis that also led to the unsafe sex. So we don't really know if it's causal so much as just a quality of a certain kind of person. Obviously, you know, with practice, anything like this can help. Does it lead to promiscuity? Well, people who use cannabis also have different attitudes about appropriate numbers of sexual partners, and it's not so much that cannabis leads to these things, but that these are things that correlate. People who enjoy cannabis may also have different ideas about how many sexual partners they should have in their lives or what level of commitment they have to have.
Let's also talk about one of the pop culture legends promoted by the ONDCP, and that is sterility in men. Mitch, can smoking or eating cannabis make a man sterile?
In fact, it's not a complete falsehood. Gabriel Nahas published some data on some men who were living in a hospital and smoked 8 joints a day for 8 days in a row, and their sperm counts did decrease. They didn't go down to the sterility level, and of course, they returned to normal when they were no longer using cannabis. So it's a temporary decrease in sperm count, and I guess, you know, if I had somebody coming to me saying we're having some fertility problems, I would recommend going off for a month or more just to give yourself the chance. But it's nowhere near birth control, and that's the thing that really worries me, is that there may be folks out there thinking that heavy cannabis use would be a good way to prevent conception, and that's just not the case at all.
And what about women? Is there anything that points to marijuana making women less able to conceive?
What's funny is the only data we have are from studies of women who were having fertility problems, and they do have some women in those samples who used cannabis, and they don't show any differences in their ability to conceive, but ironically, they're the ones who had sex more often. So we don't know if it's that they actually do have a lowered probability, but they're having so much sex that that makes up for it, or what. Really, really heavy, absurdly large doses of THC will interrupt estrus, the menstrual cycle, in apes and in certain other primates, but it's the dosages are just so high, it's a ridiculous comparison with humans and normal cannabis consumption.
So there's no way for a woman to smoke a dose of THC high enough to affect conception.
Exactly.
Also, Mitch, let's look at the other side of this. Is it good for our overall sexual health to be intoxicated every time we have sex?
I would not say so. I think the cool thing about sex and relationships is variety, in that sometimes something as simple as, you know, lying on the bed the other way or going into another room of your house can make all this difference. And then making sure that you really get the opportunity to talk about it, to praise your partner for the things you like. And it sometimes can be as simple as, you know, grunting and groaning a little bit more just to make sure that the message gets across what feels good. And suddenly you find you like this person more, and you're much more willing to talk about both positive and negative things more. And the bottom line is, yeah, cannabis can enhance that, but, you know, once in a while is great. If you do it every time, of course, then it's not special anymore. And you end up kind of stuck in a rut as far as that goes.
I'm always amazed, Mitch, when we talk about people who smoke cannabis together, that we have better conversations and gain a deeper understanding of our partners and ourselves. It seems that cannabis is this wonderful catalyst for an at-home version of cognitive behavioral therapy.
Well, what's funny about that is we don't have the placebo control, so I think some couples may have the excuse of, oh, I was high, and can always take back anything they said. But in fact, a lot of folks report being able to share, you know, either feelings or stories of incidents that are really meaningful to them during the intoxication experience, either because they have the excuse of saying, oh, well, I was intoxicated, in case their partner has an adverse reaction, but also they just seem more willing to take risks as far as what they're willing to share, and you see that across a whole bunch of different domains. So, yeah, I think that that's a neat little adjunct to couples' cognitions and their sharing.
We also see in the media and in our spam email boxes the incessant push for erectile dysfunction drugs. I'm not sure how much of a widespread problem this is compared to the marketing. Many of these drugs promote blood flow, however. So can cannabis promote blood flow and thus help with erectile dysfunction?
I think the key on this is this weird United States focus on sex having to require a big, hard penis. That's just not the case. What a wonderful thing it would be to say sexual contact doesn't necessarily mean a certain act and only that one. And I think cannabis often loosens people up with their expectations about what sex has to require in order to happen. And then with that pressure off, yeah, maybe you're more likely to have standard erectile functioning under those circumstances, but also be open to the idea that you can have, you know, a lot of hugging and kissing and warm interaction and touching up against each other without the standards clinical definition of erection. The irony, too, is I think cannabis enhances sensation, and that's the source of erection we'd really like there to be, not some artificial trapping of blood in certain areas of the body. Yeah.
So, Mitch, do you think that American men really have this incredible rate of medical problems with their erections, or do we just have a skewed view of the sexual act in this country?
I think it's a little of each. As the baby boomers are aging, we do see also people are more candid about fessing up to having erectile dysfunction. But this American perseveration on erection isn't absolutely required seems to really be there. And as these drugs got developed, I felt like the marketing of that got more and more severe and absurd.
So in the end here, whether we're married or single with one or a variety of sexual partners, we should be seeking out an enhanced experience with sex, not necessarily an enhanced erection. Better communication and sensuality. This may sound like a feminist stance here, but this is something that works for men just as well for women.
In fact, men who, you know, have only one partner and who report a lot of depth in the relationship in general also do report enhanced sexual experiences, where folks who have multiple partners and don't have the same level of connection often in the long term suggest that their sex is not enhanced. In fact, it's no longer as fulfilling and connecting as it could be.
And there's also that BBC report earlier this year showing that married couples actually have more sex over their lifetime than their single counterparts.
And that's a study that my wife reminds me of often.
That was our Cannabis Science segment, Holiday Replay, originally recorded in December of last year. We'll have a brand new segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine next week here on the Audio Stash. And of course, you can catch our Cannabis Science segment every Wednesday right here on the program. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting Technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.